Welcome to AI in Journalism. I'm Yumi Wilson, a journalism professor, branding expert, and your host. In this podcast, we'll boldly explore the intersection of AI and journalism, from its origins to its implications for newsrooms. We'll discuss the symbiosis of AI and human judgment, ethical concerns, and most importantly, arm you with the knowledge to navigate this brave new world. Whether you're a budding journalist, seasoned editor, or simply an AI enthusiast, join us as we fearlessly uncover the future of journalism in the age of artificial intelligence. Welcome to AI in Journalism.
Imagine waking up to a news article that seems perfectly written, only to discover AI entirely generated it. As artificial intelligence reshapes journalism, we're left wondering, who's really behind the news we consume? Today, we're exploring one of the most critical issues in modern journalism, the ethical challenges of integrating AI into newsrooms. As AI tools become more embedded in the production and dissemination of news, questions about accountability, bias, and transparency are more crucial than ever. Branislava Lovre, a seasoned journalist and AI ethicist with over two decades of experience, joins us in unpacking these issues. Branislava, welcome to the show.
Thank you for the invitation to be part of this wonderful project. I'm honored.
So my first question is about the founding of AI Impactful, or is it A Impactful?
Impactful.
Impactful. Now, you founded this with your brother, I understand, and to make AI accessible and ethically sound. And your journey began when you noticed how much time you and your colleagues were spending in online environments without fully understanding the impact. Can you share more about the experience and how it led you to start A Impactful?
I realized that I spent too much time on social media, same as my colleagues, and that was something like wake-up call. When we, especially talking about Impactful as a media startup, was born from a moment of realization during one of my editing sessions. I remember working on a piece about AI's growing influence in our lives. I conducted survey with colleagues, interviews, and many others. And I found that those not directly in the field often found the topic interesting or associated it only with some movie scenarios. That's when I thought how we can make this topic more accessible to everyone. I had spent so much time diving into the complexity of AI for my own work. And I realized that if I, with all my experience, sometimes found it challenging, that those without prior knowledge might feel completely overwhelmed. After all, when I try to learn something new without good resources, I either give up or struggle a lot. This inspired me to create Impactful, a platform where AI could be explained in a way that's not just understandable, but also engaging. I wanted people to feel empowered by this knowledge. I co-founded this platform, as you already said, with my brother. So Impactful is a dynamic media startup that covers everything we're talking about AI, including interviews, podcasts, and articles. One of the first things we did for Impactful was an interview for our video podcast. And I remember how nervous I was before the interview. This was our very first big step. It was almost 1 year ago. And I wanted it to resonate with our audience. We had an excellent guest whose insights would be valuable to everyone. But how could we stand out? If we did everything the same as others, we wouldn't have any advantage. So we decided to combine online and offline element to create a unique video hybrid format. At that time, none of us was sure that it was the right choice, but the initial reactions were fantastic. And that's the moment when I knew that we are on the right track. On the other hand, our association, Impactful Media, was motivated by a similar experience. I was witnessed the growing influence of AI in newsrooms. Impactful Media was born from the desire to address these challenges head on. So I wanted to create an organization that would advocate for transparency and ethical standards in how AI is used in journalism. So I remember, for example, our first workshop where we gathered journalists from different backgrounds to discuss AI's role in news productions. The stories they shared about the pressures to keep up with trends, the ethical dilemma they faced, reinforced the importance of our mission. It was clear that there was a real need for a platform that could provide guidance and support in navigating these waters. So Journey with Impactful has been deeply personal, as you already mentioned, and it's about more than just understanding AI. It's about ensuring that as we move forward, we do so in a way that's ethical, responsible, and beneficial for society.
AI can generate content that closely mimics human journalism. What are the ethical implications of using AI-generated content, and how should newsrooms ensure accountability and transparency when utilizing these tools?
Thank you for this question. It's so important. When we speak about the ethical implications of using AI-generated content, it gets to the heart of one of the biggest challenges we face. On one hand, the power of AIs to generate content is incredible. Being able to use AI to quickly generate articles or routine topics like weather reports or sports recaps could be a huge time saver. And we already have examples of this being used in newsrooms for years. But on the other hand, the risks of AI-generated content are significant. The biggest one, as you mentioned, is accountability. When a journalist writes a story, they put their name on it. They and the newsrooms are accountable for every word, every fact, every claim. But what happens when an AI writes a story? Who's accountable then? The newsroom that published it? The company that created the AI? The individuals? This leads us to the issue of transparency. I firmly believe that if news outlet is using AI to generate content, they have an obligation to disclose that to their audience. Readers deserve to know when they are consuming something written by an AI versus a human. It's a matter of trust and credibility. Already, some high-profile cases in which this has been an issue have existed. Just last year, we have a situation when a major online publication used an AI to write articles about corporate earning reports. The articles were published with no indication that they were AI-generated. When it came out, there was a huge backlash from readers who felt a little bit disappointed. As a reaction, the publication improved its disclosure practices, meaning it is clear when AI is used in generating content. The situation also led to other discussion about the ethics of using AI in journalism and transparency with community. So, how do we fix this? I think it starts by having some very clear policies in place. If a newsroom is going to use content produced with the help of AI, it should set clear ethical guidelines for use. Guidelines need to be developed that define when and how AI can be applied, along with procedures for verifying and editing content. Then, implement strict editorial oversight. So, every single AI-generated work that is published needs to be checked and edited by a human, journalist, or editors. Then the third also important part is be transparent with the community. So clearly label AI-generated content and explain, if there is possibility, how and why it is being used. Then accountability. The newsroom holds the final responsibility for everything published, regardless or whether it was generated by AI. And finally, we just have to mention human values at its core. Journalism is not just about creating content. It is about telling meaningful stories, discovering truths, and holding powers to account. And more importantly, we have to constantly asking ourselves, just because we can use AI in certain way, should we? Is it improving our journalism and serving our audience, or undermining the trust and credibility placed in us? Because at the end of the day, journalism is about trust between journalists, newsrooms, and the public we serve. AI, as we already know, can be an amazing tool, but only if you use it in a ways that build rather than erode trust. It won't be easy, and the challenges will only grow as AI becomes more sophisticated. But I have faith in our profession and in the essential rightness of what we do.
Well stated. I see that you've thought about this a lot and done research around it. And so thank you for providing us almost kind of like a framework as we move forward. Just as an addition, I'll say, you know, it used to be the question was, what if, right? Or should we? And I just wonder if it's past that point now. It's here and it's no longer should we. It's more like we have to, and how do we do it so that we think about things like accountability, integrity, ethics, and the other fundamentals that journalists here have really valued.
I totally agree with you. Especially when we're talking about everyday journalism, and especially when we're talking about all those things which will happen. But when I say, should we, I always emphasize the purpose of AI. Because when we're talking about AI, everyone think about 2022 or 2023, and somehow we're not aware that AI is here a long time ago and long before 2022. And also, I had a chance to work with colleagues from different newsrooms. And when everything started, when we're talking about hype regarding AI, one of them approached me and said, okay, I don't know what we will do. We just have to start with it. When I asked them, what would you like to improve with AI? They didn't have answer. So that's some sort of my main advice. Because if you just try to use it, and if you just start to generate content, it could be video, it could be photo, it could be anything. And if you don't know the purpose of it, then we will be lost very soon. So yes, I totally agree with you. We just have to use it, but maybe just to try to have conversation with our colleagues in newsrooms or with other colleagues who already used AI, just to have some sort of instructions or at least first questions. For example, maybe someone need help when you're talking, for example, small newsrooms, when they want to collect huge amount of data and then to make some sort of visualization. On the other hand, maybe someone need help when we're talking about pictures, because we know that in some cases, newsrooms just don't want to publish a story because they don't have nice pictures. In this situation, maybe we can use that on ethical ways, but in some situation, AI is always good tool when we're talking about, for example, making shorts for video podcasts like this. Or maybe just it would help us with organization, with some internal processes. So that's always, at least I think, as a first step, which someone just don't include when you're talking about strategy and final decision on how they will use AI and how they can improve their content or everyday work.
I definitely agree with the use of AI for certain things and maybe not for other things. I'll just share very quickly my own experience so far. I find it very helpful in helping me to structure things or figure out, okay, you know, I want to ask these questions. This is the content I already have. Help me make sense of it. It's almost like the copy editor that I used to have at the Chronicle. And now they're right next to me kind of going, yeah, Yumi, have you thought about this? I think you forgot that, you know, cross the T, dot the I. So I did want to talk about the process being very helpful in my own life as I try to produce a podcast, try to start a business, start, you know, also teaching. So I do find it helpful for those reasons. But I also want to point out that what I find interesting about generative AI at this stage in 2024 is if you were to ask AI, a tool like ChatGPT, to take quotes that you've gathered and put them into a story, there's no guarantee that the results will be those quotes that you put in. Because remember, there's a generative quality to what AI is doing. Let me move on to the next question. Bias. Okay, let's talk about bias. Bias in AI algorithms is a significant concern, especially in journalism, where fairness and accuracy are paramount. How can journalists and developers work together to identify and mitigate these biases? And can you provide a real-world example of how AI bias affected news reporting and how it was addressed?
First, some AI tools are developed inside the news organizations, and at other times, news organizations use tools that are deployed by other companies or research teams. In either of these conditions, both will have different challenges and responsibilities for handling the prevention of bias. By building their own AI, news organizations would be in control of the process and could directly affect the selection of training data, how models are tested for bias, and what mechanism for human oversight are applied. But this also means they bear full obligation for any biases or errors that may arise in the future. On the other hand, when using AI tools developed by other companies, journalists are not always in a position to know what kinds of models these companies use to train and test the tools. In such cases, it is their duty as journalists to understand the likely risks of bias, inquire about the methodology behind the tools they're using, if that is possible, and closely monitor the results for any signs of issues. For example, newsrooms using a third-party tool for text generation need to ask what data the model was trained on, whether it was tested for bias, what measures were taken to mitigate this bias, and what mechanism exists for human review of outputs. On the other hand, when they are using tools developed by other companies, journalists are not always in a position to know what kinds of models the companies use to train and test those tools. In that case, it is again their duty as a journalist to know what the likely risk the bias are, ask again about the methodology in the use of tools they use, if that is possible. We know that it's not always possible to get those informations, and monitor the results carefully for inductions of anything going wrong. As you mentioned, sometimes we will not get correct information when we're using AI tools. And for example, it also would be great to try to test tools for bias and then to measure what happened and then to take final decision, especially when they are trying to decide, for example, between two AI tools, which one will they use? And when you're talking about mitigating bias, we all know that it's essential to ensure fair and accurate reporting. So the first step toward reducing bias is understanding the limitation of AI technology. So in some cases, AI models can replicate the bias in data that they are trained on. That is to say, sometimes their output may have unfair association, for example. So AI, as we already mentioned, can never replace human judgment. It follows then that journalists need to utilize AI in the role of a tool for assistance. Or in addition, if journalists have been teaching for the model, for example, data needs to be highly diverse. For models pre-trained, may again look back at the source of data used and be aware of possibly weak links. Human oversight is one of the most important things, and I'm sure that we will mention it more during this conversation. But when we talk about those limitations, I will just emphasize that we always should verify everything, including, for example, sources which we can get before publishing. And lastly, and not the least important, the mitigation of bias from AI needs to be an ongoing process, not just once over. So regular model audits are required as new data arrives. Good reason why journalists should be ready to improve the application of AI is so that errors can be corrected or clarified if they are noticed after publication, and generally to assume responsibility. And if possible, collaboration between journalist and developer is a key throughout the process. When it comes to real world examples, unfortunately, there are many, but while AI has been increasingly discussed since 2022, let me go back even earlier. So during the 2019 Australian election, one broadcasting corporation used an AI tool for automatic transcription to allow journalists to more quickly search through archives of speeches. However, it turned out that this tool made more errors when transcribing the speeches of politicians with non-standard accents. The issue was discovered after one politician noticed errors in the transcript of his speech. The broadcast corporation then conducted an investigation that confirmed the systematic bias. In response to this problem, they stopped relying on the automatic transcript as a reliable source for quotes and instead turned to a human transcription for segments that quoted politicians. They also released information about the discovered issues with the biased transcripts and labeled previous automated transcripts as potentially unreliable. This example illustrates both the danger of algorithmic bias, worse results for non-normative ways of speaking, as well as a responsible way to correct for it. So clearly labeling problematic content and reverting to manual processes until the issue is resolved. And we also have the same situation here. To me, it's always happened something when we're talking about transcription. If I use AI tools, there is a lot of things which I should improve. And also, this is the same opinion when we're talking about my colleagues. But that situation which we mentioned, this case is great real-world example of AI bias affecting reporting and also illustrate some of the responsible steps media organization took when the problem was discovered, such as transparency, correcting inaccurate information, and reverting to a human process as a fix. And this also could be some sort of advice to all colleagues. So when they use AI and if something happened, they just give their best to try to explain to everyone why and what happened, and then just to try to label all that content and to improve their editorial process.
With AI becoming more embedded in news production, how important is transparency in the decision-making process of AI systems? What steps should news organizations take to maintain trust with their audiences?
Transparency in the decision-making processes of AI systems is absolutely crucial for maintaining public trust. Through my work, it has become clear that the audience wants and deserves to know when and how AI is used in news production. First, it's important to understand that transparency is not just an ethical issue, but a practical one. Research shows that readers have trust in media that are open about their processes, including the use of AI. And according to several reports, the majority of people wants to be informed when AI is used to generate news content, but prefer simply labels or short explanations. This desire for simply and direct communication clearly shows how important it is for media organization to be transparent, but also accessible in the way they inform their audience about the use of AI. So media organizations should take several concrete steps. Clear labeling, which we already mentioned, human oversight, which we already mentioned, and open dialogue. So any content that has been generated or modified by AI should be clearly labeled. This can be a simple note at the beginning of an article or a video, or at the end of any AI-generated content. Emphasize the role of human journalists and editors in the process. The audience should know that AI does not replace any of us in newsrooms, that AI just complements all that important job. And we're talking about discussion. Encourage open discussion with the audience about the use of AI. This could include question and answer forums, or, for example, any open Q&A live, or anything which could be connection between that newsroom and their audience. However, it is important to recognize that transparency is not a one-size solution. So it would be great if we have resources just to improve or to build media literacy and critical thinking among the audience. So it's not enough to just tell people that AI is being used. This means not only being open about the use of AI in general, but also actively engaging the audience in conversation about the implication of these technologies. We can do this through workshops, online courses, and even through the news contents itself, for example, by including more stories that explore the impact of AI on our society. So the ultimate goal should be just to empower the audience to make informed decisions and to actively participate in shaping the future. Transparency is a key first step, but it must be followed by ongoing efforts to foster media literacy and critical thinking. And I think that this is why it is so important that we have different kind of newsrooms, different kind of content, and specialized content like your podcast. And maybe this is the right moment just to ask you, what was your motivation to start all of this? Because this is a great opportunity for professionals, but also for newcomers to learn a lot when we're talking about AI.
Well, thank you for that question. You know, for me, I have been a journalism educator for many years. I used to be a reporter at the Chronicle and the AP and all of that, traditional background. And it was stunning, really, to learn how prevalent the use of AI was in numerous newsrooms at various levels. And I felt like as an educator trying to teach new generations, it was a duty to learn what's going on, how it's being used, how I can help, you know, new generations and people who want to understand journalism. You mentioned media literacy. I think the only way that we're going to improve media literacy is to talk about how it's used and how AI can not only help journalists, but really talking about what journalists do and all of the work they need. I mean, we've seen the number of newsrooms that have had layoffs. We've seen cuts. I can't tell you how many times I'm looking at my LinkedIn feed and noticing that three or four of the posts are about a friend of mine or a colleague who's now looking for new work, a job, because they've been laid off. Now, I can't say that's all because of AI, but I can say that it seems like resources are dwindling. It seems like newsrooms are needing many of these tools to, you know, streamline operations. And I think it just behooves all of us to learn as much as we can to stay on top of things. So now I'd like to move to my next question. It is around privacy and data. So AI often requires collecting vast amounts of data, raising privacy concerns. How can journalists balance leveraging AI's capabilities and protecting individual privacy?
Let's take a real-life example. A few years ago, a major media company decided to use AI to personalize news for each user based on their online behavior. The goal was for everyone to get news tailored to their own tastes, more sports for those interested in it, and so on. That sounds great in theory, I suppose. But in practice, That meant collecting huge amounts of data on each user, what they click, what they like, what they search for, even where they physically are while doing it. And of course, people rightly started asking questions. Exactly how much information does this company have on me? How are they protecting it? Who are they sharing it with? And most importantly, do I really want some algorithm deciding which news is important for me based on my personal data? Those are tough questions with no easy answers. But here are a few things I believe we as a journalist must fight for when it comes to AI and privacy. First and foremost, transparency. If we're using our users' personal data in any way, we have a duty to be 100% open and honest about it. What data we're collecting, how we are using it, who are we sharing it with, and all that needs to be crystal clear and easily accessible. No fine print, no hiding behind complicated terms, plain and simple. Second, choice. Users must have the ability to say no thanks if they don't want their data used in a certain way. And that can't be some options in settings that no one can find. It needs to be real, clearly visible questions. Do you want us to use your data for? Yes or no? Their choice, their decision. And third one, security. If you're collecting sensitive personal data, we have an obligation to ensure its maximum protection. That means investigating in state-of-the-art security measures from encryptions to access controls. And it means being proactive, not reactive, not waiting for something bad to happen and then trying to fix the damage, but doing everything in our power to prevent it from happening in the first place. And finally, ethics. Just because we have the ability to collect information about someone doesn't mean we should. Just because we can build profiles on each individual user doesn't mean it's right. We must always ask ourselves, is this ethical? Is it in line with our journalistic integrity? Does it serve the truth and public interest or something else? I believe that if we have this conversation openly, honestly, and with empathy, we can find the right balance. Because at the end of the day, our responsibility as journalists is the same as it's always been, to serve truth and the people. So transparency, choice, security, and ethics. By holding to them, I believe we can harness all the power of these technologies while protecting and safeguarding what matters most, the trust and well-being of those we work for. And I just would like to use this moment to ask you, because you started your newsletter, and when I decided to subscribe, I got email with all information about data which are connected with me. So I got email and clear description. We collect your data, and then, for example, three sources of those data. And I think that this is incredible example when we're talking about ethical collecting of data.
Thank you for that. You know, what I've been doing is I realized that I have talent in certain areas, right? I'm a longtime journalist, storyteller, you name it. But what I realized in starting the podcast, in starting my business really, is I needed to outsource. I needed to turn to people who have understanding in terms of how should I put out a newsletter? How should I be collecting data? And questions came up. I'm working with a woman named Jess. And, you know, she asked, do you need the full name? And I'm like, you know, I don't really, right? I just need to have an email address because I'd like to follow up and ask them, you know, would you be interested in the next webinar? Would you be interested in coaching? And so those questions really came up for me. And I think that other businesses should think about that too. So a lot of the large language models have been trained on data that many people didn't really have a choice. They didn't get to opt in. And the reason why many of these tools like ChatGPT or Meta, you know, or Gemini are so robust at the moment is because they did take in all of that information. Do you have any suggestions? Do we need to go to developers and work with them to create a more responsible data collection? You know, the reality is, for example, with Facebook and Meta collecting, you know, our pictures, our information that we shared over years, I'm just assuming it's already in that system.
I think that privacy by design and that option that we can just opt out would be crucial. Also, when we're talking, for example, about some sort of copyrights, if someone wants to make partnership with any of those huge companies, then they should have that option. But if someone doesn't want it, that they just also have that option just to opt out from it. I think that's one of the most important things. But also, it was time when many of my friends were going on a student exchange across the USA and Europe. And I remember the excitement we all felt when we discovered that these new platforms allowed us to stay connected even we were miles apart. We shared moments, experience, pictures, and those early years on social media were a true source of joy and connection. Nobody ever mentioned data. Nobody ever mentioned, for example, that ethical part, and everything was go with the flow. So we didn't think about filters. We didn't think about algorithms. And what mattered most was that we felt close, even though we were physically distant. As years passed, so my fascination with social media grew. I followed their evolution from, let's say, basic platforms to serious business tools. And this also inspired me to go deeper into exploration ethics in technology, because as much as technology brings benefits, it's crucial not to overlook it, its consequences. And also, for example, it would be great just to have option to maybe if you're not satisfied with anything which is collected regarding our life, our jobs, so on, that we just can find a way to delete all those information, every data which was collected, and that everything is clearly written. Because there is also an interesting story. For example, when I spoke with my colleague and I said that, okay, I'm not satisfied with this or that, he explained me that everything was written down on, for example, policies, which are already published. And I just didn't read anything of it. I just go through and said, yes, yes, I agree. So that is also the moment when we can, for example, speak more about good and bad parts when we're talking about AI, when we're talking about algorithms, just to inform people that before they, for example, use any social media account, any AI tools, that they first go and to read the privacy policy, just to be aware what's happening when we're talking about data collection. And also, for example, if they choose at one moment to give their own data, that they just can opt out at any moment in the future. So I think that that critical thinking and that process of sharing knowledge is also very important, just to share information with people that they can choose. And for example, if they have 3 AI tools or 3 social media networks, that they will choose the best one for them.
Let's talk a little bit about ethical storytelling. AI tools can sometimes lack the nuance and empathy human journalists bring to storytelling. How can newsrooms ensure that AI-enhanced stories still meet the ethical standards of quality journalism? And what I mean by that is that human, you know, empathetic voice that makes powerful stories so important and connects us.
To make sure that stories created with the help of AI meet the ethical standards of quality journalism, it's important to keep human judgment and empathy at the center. AI tools can be helpful for research, data analysis, and generating insights, but they can't fully understand details and emotional tones that are essential for good storytelling. Newsrooms should see AI as just another tool, like a phone or a camera, something that adds to their abilities but doesn't define their work. Just like ethical journalism requires responsible use of tools, AI should also be used carefully and with clear rules. One way to do this is by creating AI ethical guidelines specifically for the newsrooms. These guidelines should make it clear that journalists need to review and add context to any AI-generated content to ensure that it meets standards, like, for example, accuracy or minimizing harm. Additionally, newsrooms should train their staff also how they use AI. This includes learning how to work with AI models and, for example, to critically assess their outputs. The goal is to help journalists use AI in a way that improves their work without compromising their ethics. We know that great journalism has always combined skill and empathy, the ability to turn facts into stories while understanding the human experience behind those facts. As AI tools evolve, it's crucial not to lose this human touch. If journalists can use AI to expand their research and deepen their insights while keeping a strong ethical foundation, our stories can become even richer and more meaningful. But at the heart of these stories and the judgments on how they are told must always stay with humans. So I think that that's one of the most important messages, because ethical use of AI in journalism requires guidelines, learning, and most importantly, commitment to keeping human judgment as a priority. So this way we can use AI to its full potential while staying true to the highest ideals of our professions, especially when we're talking about trust and community.
Let's talk a little bit about the future of newsrooms. Can you paint us a picture of what a newsroom might look like in, I said 10 years, but if you want to go to 5 years, you know, in the future, what a newsroom is going to look like with the integration of AI?
That's a great question. And by 2033, I believe newsrooms will be both transformed and familiar. The core mission of journalism, to inform, investigate, and tell stories that matter, will remain unchanged. However, the tools and methods we use to achieve this mission will undergo a significant evolution. Let me be clear. AI will not replace human journalists, human editors, or just to say, journalists and editor. Instead, it will act as a powerful assistant, taking on tasks that are time-consuming, such as transcribing interviews, or generating some sort of drafts of routine news stories, but without any mistakes, if that is possible. AI could also improve how stories are told and consumed. So, for example, imagine interactive articles where AI-driven data visualization tools update as new information becomes available, or personalized news feeds that adapt to readers' interests while still exposing them to diverse perspectives. Those innovations could make news more engaging, accessible, and particularly to younger audience who prefer interactive and multimedia-rich content. However, the future is not without its challenges, like at this moment. One significant concern is the potential for AI to even amplify biases present in the data it processes. This is why human oversight will remain crucial in 10, 15, or 20 years. Moreover, while AI can help detect patterns or suggest story leads, it lacks the human touch necessary for making ethical decisions. For example, an AI might generate a technically accurate story, but fail to consider the privacy implications for those involved or the potential harm the story could cause. Human editors will need to find solution for this, ensuring that the content respects the dignity of individuals and upholds all norms which we have. Looking forward, I see AI as a tool that will not only improve journalism, but also push its boundaries. But at the heart of technical evolution, the core of journalism will remain unchanged. So our job will still be to hold power accountable, give voice to the voiceless, and tell stories that matter. Only now we'll have advanced tools to help us do so. And when it comes to technology and innovation, I believe two principles are crucial. The first is do no harm. And the second is to improve. And I hope that the trends we see in the future of AI and journalism will align with these principles, ensuring that AI doesn't cause harm, but rather contributes to the field. We should strive for AI to be a tool that upholds the integrity of journalism while also pushing the boundaries of what's possible, enabling us to tell stories more effectively and reach broader audience without compromising ethical standards.
And you mentioned a principle of minimizing harm, which is the second principle of the Society of Professional Journalists Code, SPJ Code. So that's really wonderful that you're mentioning the importance of minimizing harm. It's something that I talk to my students about. It's something that newsrooms usually adhere to. And it's something I think sometimes Hollywood or the movies or TV shows we watch ignore, that really when you're ethical in your journalism, you're not only thinking about the scoop, you're thinking about how it's going to affect other people. So I'm really thankful that you mentioned that part as well.
We mentioned your students several times, and I would like to learn more. What are their feedbacks? Do they have any concerns? Because they are our future colleagues. And where are they now?
You know, it's very interesting to be teaching journalism or media writing at a time when, as educators, we're finally starting to talk about AI. And I can tell you that among my colleagues, the voices or the opinions are quite different. But what I've been doing as school just started is referring to the AI policy at SF State, which is where I teach. And the AI policy, I had a student read it to me and I said, what do you make of this AI policy? And the student said, well, it looks like it's up to the teacher. And I said, exactly. I said, it's so new that every educator is trying to figure out what to do. For me, I think that students are using various AI tools. There's so many. I think that many, I know that when I started talking about it in 2023, several students came up to me after class and said, wow, thank you for talking about AI. It's something I didn't think I could talk about. So I hear that as well. What I also learned is that they would like to know how to use it responsibly. They would like to know how to use it so that they can do more with what little resources they have. So for me as an educator, I'm excited about this space. I'm excited that here is yet another tool in our toolbox. What can we do to create visually stunning or interactive stories? I was just talking to Jose Nieves, who runs El Toque, and his team is coming up with tools that are very interactive for younger generations that want more than just text. So I thought that was really, you know, another way that we can be thinking about AI tools. I think students are waiting for cues. You know, students of journalism, students of media writing, students who are entering the media per se are saying, well, we know that it's being used. How do we do it? How do we use it well? How do we remain ethical? We want to do those things. And I think it's up to us, right, to get in there. And that's why I'm in it. I'm still learning. I have a lot of learning to do.
We mentioned students, but you also work a lot with colleagues, with professionals. What do they say? What do they think?
My colleagues range the board. So I have friends who have known for decades, and some of them really have a very pessimistic outlook on what's happening. And you know, you will hear that as well. You'll hear, This is just a matter of time before AI replaces everything about the news and newsroom. So there's that in terms of the spectrum. And then you get to people in the middle who are thinking, well, how can I use some of these tools or which tools are better to use? You know, people want to know, what can we do if we're part of a newsroom, small or large? You know, I think in a few months' time, I'm supposed to be going to another conference in which they are looking for tips on prompting. So to me, as I think about colleagues, and I say colleagues in journalism, but I also include colleagues in communications, colleagues who are doing things that might not be in a traditional newsroom, but maybe starting their own podcast or own blog or, you know, doing side gigs. What I'm learning is a lot of us want to know which tools we should be using, how to use them so we can be better at our jobs. And that's the way that I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, it's important that we can learn as much as possible, because I always say that over and over again, that the most important message is just start. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by AI and think you need to master everything at once, but you really don't. Begin with one small step. Find a tool that can help you with something specific, like, for example, transcription or using AI to spark ideas for your next article or social media post. So some sort of small steps and ethical usage as the one of the most important things when we're talking about AI.
Well, thank you for that. Branislava, thank you so much for sharing your insights today. It's clear that the ethical considerations around AI and journalism are complex and critical to the industry's future. If you want to know more about Branislava, how can we reach out to you? How can listeners get in touch and learn more?
Thank you for that question. So I will send you the links and maybe you can put it. We have that one small media startup, which is called Impactful. We spoke about it at the beginning of today's conversation. So that is the best option, how they can get in touch with me. And of course, LinkedIn. So that's the perfect place for connections and for sharing thoughts. So I'm just one email away. I would be happy if someone would like to contact me, and then we can speak a little bit more about all those important topics.
Wonderful. On that note, thank you so much, Branislava, for joining us here on AI in Journalism. Until then, stay curious and stay informed. Thanks for listening to AI in Journalism. If you liked what you heard, please hit that subscribe button. You can also connect with me on LinkedIn to share your thoughts and suggest future topics or even guests. And remember to always keep questioning and keep growing.